For our study this afternoon, we'll take up the subject that's introduced by John Leonard in chapter 3 of Get Real. The chapter is called Christ's Method, Our Model. And he's going to interact a lot with Luke chapter 7. So let's all turn there. Our short time in the afternoon doesn't allow us to read all of this. Instead, I'd encourage you to read chapters 6 and 7 sometime this week and to be meditating on this idea of thinking about Jesus' method of sharing the good news of eternal life with those around him. I would caution you, I use that term method carefully, because when people talk about method, they'll often immediately gravitate towards these three different steps that you're going to take to accomplish a task. And in evangelism, it's these three steps to take in order to fulfill the role of evangelism. And I wanted to back away a little bit from that and instead just examine, as Leonard does, just examine who Jesus deals with and how he deals with them. In our last study, we looked especially at the substance of the gospel with the purpose of falling in love with the gospel all over again. That was Leonard's phrase. We looked at how good the good news is. And beside that, now we're going to look at who Jesus ministered to and how he ministered. If you look, let your eyes just glance over that entire chapter, you'll see that there are a series of encounters that Jesus has with a variety of different individuals. And there are going to be four main individuals that Jesus deals with. And Leonard uses a really nice illustration that the boys and girls might understand this really well. It's a really good illustration. So think of a compass, and all those who have been Boy Scouts or something like that might be able to answer this. How many? Oh, there we go. Always prepared there. How many points are there on a compass? There are 2 points on the arrows on the compass, but we usually talk about. Mario, that's what I was thinking of, the four points of the compass, the four cardinal directions. And Jesus is going to talk about four different individuals. And in a sense, they are as far apart from each other as east is from west and north is from south. So let your eyes go down there. Call out the four different people that you see listed here. There is a fifth that's attached to the fourth, but four major people that are dealt with here in Jesus' encounters. And not his disciples. He's encountering somebody.
A centurion.
A centurion. There's one.
A widow,
yes.
What chapter are we in?
This is Luke chapter 7. Maybe I said John. If I did, I apologize. It is Luke chapter 7.
John's disciples,
that's the third group. And the sinful woman. And attached to that, there's a Pharisee. But we'll stick with these four. Think of them as a wide variety of individuals with whom Jesus deals. Let's get sleep there. The two main points that Leonard draws your attention to, I'll give you right now, and then we'll talk about how they come out in these four individuals. The first application is to offer the gospel to everyone. And the second is, be willing to get dirty for the gospel. That's his phrase, and I'll show you how that is applied in this passage. So, offering the gospel to everyone. Remember the compass. They're widely divergent types of people. The first comparison is between the centurion and the widow. Those two are going to be something of polar opposites. So tell me about the centurion. What is he like?
He's a commander over many people.
Yep, good. Man of authority, commander.
Gentile.
A Gentile.
He doesn't go to Jesus directly.
Yep, good.
He has faith.
So there's a nearness to the gospel that he has. How is that demonstrated?
Coming to Christ.
Well, he comes to Jesus. That's a really good one. Yeah.
You know, the synagogue.
Yeah. So there was a kindness to the Jews. He built a synagogue. He's a person that was, in a sense, respected in the community. He had position. He had power. He had privilege, he had money, and the opinion of people said, well, Jesus should do good to this man. He's done good to us. What about the widow? What did she have to offer Jesus? What is she like?
She had no position in power. At the bottom of the totem pole being a widow.
Yeah, yeah. There's one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, not only a widow, but now the means of support that she had through a son had died. So, in a sense, destitute. There's poverty. She is a woman, and women are different than men. If you don't, I'm going on record on that today. Women are different, and but not a position of power, not a position of privilege, a position of poverty. How about the next comparison? We have the comparison between the delegations from John the Baptist, and we'll put that with John the Baptist. We'll just talk about him, John the Baptist, and the woman of sin, and we'll call her what she's been called throughout the ages, a prostitute. So compare those two. Again, polar opposites. What was John the Baptist like?
Man of God, so he was well versed in those teachings.
Yeah. Righteous.
Wasn't consumed with passion.
Maybe he was.
A trend that didn't catch on very well in the in the fashion world. How about the prostitute? What was she, what was her condition?
She had many sins.
Yeah. In a sense, a polar opposite. Very obviously known for her sins rather than her righteousness or her closeness to the kingdom.
She
was aware of her sins.
She was. Yeah, she is aware of her sins. Yeah.
Would she be cut off from the public worship?
I'll come to that in just a minute. I'll come back to that, Liz. That's a good, really good point. Yeah. Good. Well, there's a lot more. You can fill in this picture of the complete opposite characters that are described here. The point being that Jesus ministers to the entire spectrum of individuals, to a Gentile who is an enemy of the state of Israel, who was an occupying force. He may be close, he may be a friend to the Jews, but he was still an enemy. He ministered to a widow who had no position or privilege or funds. He ministered to a righteous individual, one that is outwardly in the kingdom of God and fearing Him, but still having these questions, and to the prostitute. Would somebody turn back to Luke chapter 6? Would someone read verses 27 through 31, and someone take verses 32 through 36? I'll take Daniel. I saw Daniel and Rachel's hands first. So Daniel, do you take that first passage, and then Rachel?
Okay. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And for him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise.
32 through 36.
But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive their money back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and needy. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful.
Here's Jesus' method. Who was the enemy?
Centurion.
How about the one who could not give back? Yeah. In a sense, you could find each of these individuals in this teaching of Jesus. And then he goes and he acts it out. And Luke brings together the teaching of Jesus and then the example of Jesus to help us to see this in action. What it means to love your enemy. And what it means to do good to those who cannot return. In this case, then there's some very practical applications that we can make in the gospel. And the one that Leonard spells out and says very well, and this is the. How he says it. We do not determine in advance who is worthy or unworthy of God's grace. And that's not ours to determine. That's God's business. And that being the case, it gives a real sense of freedom to carry out what's happening here in Jesus' teaching. To love an enemy, that's not something that happens naturally. But to show generosity to someone who you know will have no ability to pay back. To befriend an outcast, a prostitute, and to show genuine interest and friendship to someone who is cut off and isolated from everyone else, to minister to a spiritually mature person, genuinely to not set them on a pedestal, but to love and to minister. God's grace helps us to do that, and it's part of our method. I'm going to save it for next week. Here's two homework questions. There's a church planting application that I'm going to make that is really good that has to do with homogeneous units. So part of your assignment is to think about homogeneous units and what that means for the life of the church and our outreach. If you want to know what a homogeneous unit is, come and talk to me later. Or you can work on that yourself. The second one is, how is it that Jesus became dirty with each of these individuals? That's your assignment. Got it? No, it's not a trick question. He became unclean in dealing with these individuals. So think of how he became unclean with these individuals. And then apply that. We'll talk about that next week too. Let's close in prayer, please. Lord, thank you for your teaching and your example. And may we take it to heart. For Lord, we were those unclean enemies that you loved and saved. We were the ones that you came to and touched and changed. We pray, Lord, that in our love for you, that we would learn to love others in the same way, and that gospel would bear fruit in our lives and in the way we relate to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.